Praise God. We sang that song this morning. I didn't even know my wife was going to sing it. And it just goes right along with what I'm going to start preaching on here for the next several weeks, months, who knows. You know, it's easy. We just came back from our vacation and it was glorious. Everybody asked me this morning, said, are you glad to be home? No. I love y'all. I love the church here. I love what God's doing here, but it was 51 degrees and raining where I was. And so, it's kind of hard to come back to 103 and dry and ugly and hot. And, you know, and so everybody murmur, you know. So I went past several churches, you know, beautiful little log churches up there and cowboy churches. And I thought, man, I just ought to stop and see if they don't want an interim pastor for, you know, another 3 or 4 months. And they can just pay me after every service or something. I don't know. You know, I mean, it was tempting. But I didn't do it. I came home. Praise God. And amen. Thank you. We did 2,400 miles on a Harley. So praise God. Me and Dwayne, we toughed it out. It was great everywhere except Texas. And it was hot. Bikes pegged out at about 120 degrees on there, you know, after noon to whenever, you know. So it's toasty. It's toasty is all I can tell you. You find new ways to use water. You don't care what you look like. You just spray your whole self down, dump bottles of water on you, and then ride in the air and hope it cools you off, you know. But anyway, glory to God. We're here. We're home. And I got a message. I want to start preaching now. And it's called the message. The title of this message is called The Tree of Life. And the reason why I was so inspired when I heard this song this morning, I was thinking about how many of you in life have ever experienced something that you were praying for, you were believing for, and it did not happen? Raise your hand. I want to see if I'm in the right house today. Okay. Well, I want you to turn in your Bibles, and this is where we're going to start, is in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Get your Bibles out. See, I'm cheating this morning. I moved up in life. Man, I got an iPad here. Praise God. I got from my birthday, and so I'm up in high technology this morning. So I didn't turn my Bible on. Here, let me turn it open. There. I got it here with me because I don't trust this thing. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's what happened to you. You were praying about something. You were believing God for something. And it didn't happen. And when it didn't happen, it made you sick. Amen? It didn't come to pass like you thought it should have come to pass, or didn't happen like you wanted it to happen. I was riding back and I was, you know, watching the storm coming in, and this tropical storm that's supposed to be coming in. And, you know, what was his name of it? Yeah, it didn't dawn, did it? Anyway, and so, you know, we had watched. We were up there, you know, we got text messages from, you know, family down here when the other day when it was supposed to rain here, you know, and brewed up a little something. And we were all sitting up there watching, saying, come on, you know, rain. And so when we were coming home, I thought, you know, Lord, I really hate to go home to church and stand up in front of everybody. I mean, dear Lord, it would have been great if it had just been raining and I'd come home and everybody was just, you know, fat and happy. It would rain everywhere and bless God, you know, and it'd make life a lot easier. And the Lord said to me something. I mean, you may think I'm crazy, whatever, but I'm telling you, on the back of my Harley at 75 miles an hour, the Lord said to me, when are my people going to quit trying to change, get me to change the natural and then call it me? When are they going to start believing for the supernatural? God doesn't need a tropical storm to come in and we all get our faith up and say, oh, maybe this is it. Come on, Lord. Okay, Lord, if you'll just shift that thing over. That thing's going off to the south. That's the way I was praying. I said, Lord, that thing's going down to the south. Oh, Lord, turn that thing around. Okay, come on. Make that high move, Lord. Come on, get that high off of us. Let it come on in here. Did y'all pray like that? Anybody around here, am I in the same house? The Lord said, that's foolishness. He says, why are you asking me to go in there and change the natural? I'm the God of the supernatural. I'm the God that makes rain come from a little cloud up in the sky like the days of Elijah when it didn't rain and there was one little bitty cloud. God didn't tell Elijah, hurry, today's the day we've got to go up to the mountain because there's a tropical storm coming in. Bless God, we've got to get this thing going. We're going to make this thing look good in front of all the people. God doesn't need the help from the natural sources of life in order to make things work. Listen, there's a natural course going on right now. There's a high sitting on top of us. Now, you think you're tough. You think it's hard here. It is hard here. But I want to tell you something. As far as we rode those bikes, there wasn't a tank that had any water in it. You're not the only one hurting. I talked to people from Oklahoma that sold every head of cattle. They've slaughtered them all. Listen to me. There ain't nobody buying cows up somewhere else. They slaughtered them all. You know what that's going to do to us? When it does start to rain, it'll take years to be able to replenish herds of cattle because they have all been slaughtered, up to 5,000 per week being slaughtered all over the place because they have no place to go. There's no hay, there's no grass. We're not the only ones hurting. But there is a natural circumstance happening. Listen, I don't know about global warming. I don't believe it. You ain't going to tell me that that has anything to do with anything. But I'm just telling you there's a natural course going on. But God doesn't have to have the natural courses going in His favor to make something work. He is the God of the supernatural. Our faith is in the wrong place. Our faith is in, it looks like there may be something happening. We may get something stirred up here. Let's believe God. We're wrong. I was convicted and had to repent riding down the road because I said, Lord, I'm thinking totally wrong. You're the God of the supernatural. God's a God that wants to move into your life. Doesn't make any difference if He has anything in the natural to work with. And listen to me, you cannot change free will. So many times we want to pray and we want to change free will. We want to just pray and put the hoodoo on somebody so that they're going to do what we want them to do. But God's not into hoodoo. God's into the supernatural. He is the God of the miraculous. Hear me now, church. And our faith, when we have prayed and we did not see answers, gets diminished, gets squashed down. Our hope gets deferred and our hearts get sick when we don't see anything happen. But why do we turn to God and say, God, why didn't you do that? Why do we turn to God and say, you are the problem? I mean, I guess it was just too tough. I mean, I guess that storm, God just couldn't push it to the north. Huh? I guess He just didn't have enough power to, you know, make it happen. Poor God. He's just barely hanging on. He's just barely making it, you know, work. Do y'all see what thinking that is? Well, I guess it wasn't the will of God. Oh, so God's about seeing how long we can suffer. Are y'all hearing me? God's not into seeing how much suffering we can take. God's not in there. He's not going to put you out there and then just squeeze the life out of you until see if He can still, when He turns you loose, you'll still believe in Him. God wants to prosper you. God wants to be a tree of life in your life. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. The second part of that verse is, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. When the desire comes, it's a tree of life. When you've ever seen God do a miracle in your life, you actually got your thinking straight and you believed God for a miracle and it happened in your life, that testimony, that miracle, that instance of your life becomes a tree of life to you because you can say, well, I remember when this happened. I remember when that worked. You know, I have it's a whole theory about lawnmowers. I hate lawnmowers. I hate them with passion. I believe that lawnmowers become demon possessed at the factory. They inhabit the motor and they stay in there and they don't manifest until about a year or so later. And then they manifest, they won't start. Are y'all with me? And then you pull on that rope until the demon then jumps in you and you become so angry. Are y'all with me here? Y'all all been there? Done that? You know how it is when you when you get it right, you tweak the carburetor or you do whatever happens to be the juju to make the thing work, right? And it works and it runs and you're just like holding your breath because, oh God, it's working. Just don't mess up, right? Y'all with me? Y'all been there? And so, you know, you're living, but listen, we're not supposed to be living our Christian life like that. Like, oh God, I finally got it working. No, don't move. Oh, geez. Don't. Oh God, is this thing work and keep working because my life is doing pretty good right now. And I also hope there's not a bobble in the road. The Bible says that as Christians, we're supposed to be bold as lions. We're supposed to wake up every morning and the devil's supposed to be scared that we got up. Not we are scared that we woke up. He's supposed to be scared that you got up because you know what the Word of God says and you have faith in the Word of God and you understand the principles of God and understand how they work. Right? There's things that go on in life that I'm telling you aren't working and your hope has been deferred. And it's not because God doesn't want to answer your prayer. It's because we're not operating in the principles of God's Word. And because we don't operate in the principles of God's Word, we don't operate in the things that of the kingdom properly, it doesn't happen. If you pour water in your gas tank, what's going to happen? Your vehicle will not run on water. If you determine that you can fill your vehicle up with gas and then you're going to wean it. So the next time you fill up the tank and it was full, and the next time you only put 3/4 in, the next time you put a half, the next time you put a quarter, and then you said, listen, I ain't giving you no more. You got to run on your own now. I had enough with you. I'm tired of paying for it. You got to grow on up. You go out there and you talk to your car. You got to grow up. It's time to get weaned. You're going to spend some time on the side of the road with a gas can trying to get somebody to come help you get some gas because that car has to have gas to run. Now, don't make any difference what your theory is about it. Don't make any difference how you ought to say, well, that thing ought to run no matter what. I don't care. You can be obstinate and hard-headed about it, but if you keep operating under that principle, you're not going to have success. And in our lives, if we keep operating under the principles that are not God's principles, I'm not saying they're ungodly. Don't take me wrong here. Some people think, oh, well, I messed up the other day. I got mad, kicked the cat, and cussed, and so bless God, I ain't going to get my prayers answered. And I'm telling you, that's foolish thinking, and you probably aren't going to get your prayers answered because you've got foolish thinking in your heart. But there's other things that we do that we operate in that we think that God is going to move because we did that, and it's unbiblical. So the next several months, next several weeks, months, however long it takes, in this message, I'm going to start on it today, but in this message, I'm going to go through God's principles with you in different areas of life. The principles of finances, the principles of healing, the principles of righteousness, the principles of... I want to talk about different things of God, and then you can look and see if you're following the biblical pattern, and if your hope has been deferred, maybe it's been deferred because you're not applying God's principles correctly. Look at the person beside you and I said, I'm sorry, but I think it may be you. I love y'all's reactions. Another scripture. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 13. Let me show you something. You know, church, I've prayed for a million things that haven't happened. Now, my figures may not be right here, but I prayed for a million things, feels like it, that haven't happened. But I've prayed for, a million things that have happened, too. So that means I'm only batting 50%. Right? If I prayed for a million and it didn't happen, and I prayed for a million and it did happen, I'm batting 50%. But I don't want to bat 50. I want to bat higher. I know, and even to myself, there's things in my own life and my own thinking that is not, I don't have it 100% lined up with the Word of God. There's sometimes in my life religious thinking, garbage thinking, junk thinking that is just not right. I'm thinking wrong. And I don't want to be like that. I'm preaching this, not just preaching it, y'all. I'm preaching it for myself, man. I want to know. I want to walk in it. I want to walk in victory in all areas. When I first started out in my Christian walk, I thought because I got saved and I was a Christian now, and that I had the doorway open and my sins were forgiven and the door is open between me and God, that I would never have another problem in life. That was just the concept I had. Nobody told me that concept. I just developed it. I said, man, I got it. And the more I got into learning about faith and the Word of God, I thought, I never had another problem the rest of my life. And I remember that morning I woke up and the tire was flat on the car and the little toaster oven just caught on fire, burnt up, just like the devil got in there and just burnt that thing up. And I was like, the dryer broke at the next moment, you know. Got in the car, buzzard hit the car, barely dodged a deer, the horse was out. You know what I mean? It was just like, one thing after another. And I remember saying to God, God, what is going on? I'm a Christian now. I'm saved. This ain't supposed to happen. I'm supposed to live the glory hallelujah life. I ain't supposed to have no problems. You know, now, 20-something years later, I'm sitting around saying, you know, the real answer is that through every circumstance and problem that comes up in life, God makes a way of escape. God makes a way for me to walk through it and come out on the other end not smelling like smoke. God makes a way for me to walk through this thing and come out and still have joy and peace and sanity. Hello? The devil can get you so focused on the problems in life that all you see is the problems in life. You wake up in the morning, you're thinking about the problems of life. And you never then can even get to the answers of life because you're so hung on the problems of life. And that's not the way he wants us to be. Sometimes the greatest joy in your life is just changing your thinking. I mean, it's really the truth. Sometimes the problem that you think is so enormous that no one else has ever walked through, if you just open your eyes and look around, there's people all over the place that's walked through a whole lot worse than you did and acted a whole lot better than you did. But the devil has a way of making your life seem like it is the worst and you're experiencing worse than any person could ever experience. I don't want to be that away. I want to be able to preach to y'all victory in life. I want to see y'all growing and I do. I see things change in your life. I see those of you that are grabbing hold of the Word of God and it's becoming a tree of life to you. I see you changing and I see things that you used to, you know, just be so, and now you're just, Hello? When every day was a disaster, now it's just every other day. Progress. Whee! I'll take it. But Matthew 13, 31 and 32 says this. He says, another parable he put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field. Now, have y'all ever seen a mustard seed? It's a little bitty seed. Okay? Which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it's greater than all the herbs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air can come and nest in its branches. How many of you today would like to come into a place in your life where you have become so healthy in the things of God that you become a tree that actually can bring shade and comfort to your children or your grandchildren or the people around you? Your friends, that you actually have come to a place where you're not waking up every morning in a disaster, that you have actually got the disasters kind of reined in, and you're believing God so that now you're that tree. How many of y'all that you'd like to be that person? I believe that after the next couple of weeks, you know, all you're going to start grabbing hold of some things and seeing some things. Folks, listen to me. We're not supposed to be Christians that are just destroyed at every turn. We're not supposed to be Christians that are being used by the devil as his tools in life. Hello? Man, we're supposed to be advancing the kingdom of God in our lives and our families' lives and everybody you're around. We're supposed to be blessings to one another. Hello? And I don't know about you, but that's what I want to be. I want this church, I want my life, I want my family to be this Matthew 13:31 proverb that we're a mustard seed that's become a tree, that the birds of the air can actually come and sit on our branches. And I want to see Living Waters Church become such a great church in this area of South Texas and around the world that birds, that others can come and birds can come and light on our branches. And our branches are big, strong, thick branches that we can show comfort and love to others. Amen. Amen. I got to tell you this testimony. I'm trying to find the person and to get it all on paper and everything. But it was just told to me this week while I was on vacation that there was a person, and it's from some people that we know in a roundabout way, that this person was coming to church, coming to school every day, just a minute or so late, just having to run in at the last minute, sit down. And this person, you know, was kind of getting annoyed with them. And so, you know, like, why are you always late? You know, you're always late. So finally one day the person confessed and said, well, I got to tell you why I'm always late. There's this guy that preaches on the radio, and he's from 8:45 to 9, and I know class starts at 9, but his message goes to the end, and I got to hear it. This guy's just preaching things to me that's just blessing me. And they said, well, who is it? And I said, well, it's this guy named Robert Richards. And, of course, they knew me, and it got back to us that this was taking place. Bless my socks off that anybody would sit there and be late to class to hear the message and be clinging to the words of the message. But you see, what happened was, is through that word, because it's the word, it's not me, it's the word of God. And through the word of God, it began to touch that person's heart, and touch that soul, and it became a tree of life to them, and they needed life. And they're hearing that word, it's speaking to their heart, because they're hungry. And hungry souls, the Bible says, even bitter things are sweet. It's to the soul that sits back and says, well, I don't think things are going the way I want them to go, and I don't really like doing this, and I don't like doing that. But you ain't going to get blessed. You're not even, that's your first principle of entering into the kingdom of God and entering in and grabbing hold of this tree of life is to be hungry for the things of God, to desire the things of God more than anything, no matter what it costs you, no matter what it takes, no matter what takes place, you have got to have God's word in your life. And when you're at that place in life, and see what happens to us. And, you know, praise God, I like comfort. I got to admit it, I like comfort. I like to be comforted. I don't like to, you know, I dislike comfort. But what happens is when you get comfortable, you get complacent. And when you're complacent, you think everything's okay and you quit. You quit your reading, you quit your praying, you quit your do whatever. That's why, and y'all just call me crazy, that's why I really enjoy riding my Harley. Because you are out there, you're vulnerable at every moment of every second. Bug hits you in the side of the head, you can't imagine how bad one of those things hurt. You're right out there in the elements, you're right out there just riding, so vulnerable, and it makes me feel like my faith is just like that. I want to be like that with God. I want to be right on the edge. I want to be at a place in life that I say, Lord, I can't do nothing without you. I need you every moment of my life. I need you every second of my life. I need you to help me figure out how to turn the page. I need you to help me understand everything, because when you're like that and you're hungry, folks, listen to me, God is around every corner. But when you're complacent and you're fat and full, I want to tell you something, man. You're going to miss God at every turn because you're not hungry. The way to get into this and to see your hope not being deferred is you have to be hungry, ravenous, hungry for the things of God. But see, a lot of people are just ravenous, hungry to get out of their situation. Then when they get out of their situation, they're not hungry anymore. So then people develop a doctrine and say, well, it's better to be hurting all the time, so therefore you're always hungry for God. I don't agree with that. Would it not be better to just be hungry for God all the time and walk in His blessings? Come on. Am I right? Why do we have to suffer to be hungry? That's stupid. That's like saying, you know, I need to feel pain. So you're going to smash your finger with a hammer and say, I need to feel pain because it reminds me of how hard, how painful pain is. That's, woohoo. That ain't very sound thinking. Y'all with me? Now go in your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 3. And let's just look here for a moment. I'm talking about a tree of life, which is Jesus in your life. But there really was a physical tree of life. In the very beginning in the garden in Genesis chapter 3. We see the story of the fall of man. We see the devil came in, and I don't want to read it all, but just listen to me. You see, the devil came in, he took the glory, the victory, the awesomeness of where Adam and Eve were living right there in his presence in the garden, and the devil came in and deceived them, and all he did to deceive them was to get them to change their thinking. Folks, listen to me. Today, this day, this moment, right now, I can't see it in the spiritual realm. I just know it's there. There's like herds of devils everywhere outside just waiting to get in your brain when you leave church to get this message out of your head. But I don't hear that in church every Sunday, everywhere. It's the truth, though. Because if he can get you to change your thinking and just get you to think that God is not going to bless you, then you're not going to get blessed because you're not going to be hungry. You're not going to see God. So he got you out of the principle that God has for your life. If he can get you offended, if he can get you off track, if he can get you focused on the problem, if he can get you anywhere, just get your thinking changed, you're going to miss the kingdom of God. Men, how many times have you been accused by your wife that you can't find anything? That's true, technically not true. We can find things if we know where we're looking. They move them. They tell us that they're in the wrong place. They do, don't they? But is it not, it's just like something like the other day, I was looking for some aluminum foil, some tin foil. I said, hey, is there any tin foil? And they said, yeah, it's right in there. It's right in there on this, you know, counter. And I went in there, but I was distracted because there was a piece of tin foil laying there. I said, well, I don't want a piece. And I looked at the piece and I said, well, that's not big enough. And so I went back in and I said, was messing around. And so they said, would you find it? I said, no, it ain't there. Ain't nothing there. And you know, it literally, it was pretty sad. It was about maybe 12 inches from that piece. But see, that piece distracted me. I said foil. My mind said foil. I was going for foil. There was foil. I saw foil. And I just happened to, you know, just tunneled vision. I just happened to just not see 12 inches away was the whole box. But I counted it as a, you know, it was a distraction. It was just a distraction. That's what the devil wants to do to you. He wants to distract you. He wants you to get you off. He wants you to get you looking over here. He wants you just to get a thought in your mind, get a zip, just in your head, an arrow. The Bible talks about flaming arrows and flaming darts coming just to hit you, to get you offended, to get you off. Because then when you get off, you're off. You're going to miss the tree of life that's going to give you blessings and going to give you victory. It's going to give you joy. It's going to give you peace. You miss it. You're not eating the tree of life. You're not at the tree of life. Man, you're over here at the tree of offense. You're over here ripping off things. You're over here going into past stuff. And the devil's just saying, man, I got them. Chasing their tail now. Woo! And he just leaves you alone. Some of you say, well, you know, Pastor, I mean, I don't know what you're talking about, this deal about the devil business. He hadn't shown up at my house. I mean, he's not. Yeah, it's because you're already doing his will. I mean, you're already on the board when he goes, when the devil has his meeting in the morning to see who needs to be tormented or attacked that day. You're already on the side of him. He just looks down the list and says, oh, you don't have to mess with them. I got them going good. There's this tree of life. Listen to me. And it was sitting there. And the devil got him over there and he got him sidetracked. And he got him to saying, to thinking that, oh, you're going to be great. You're going to be something good. And so if you read the story in Genesis 3, 2 and 3 there, it talks about the tree of life. And God said, look, you got to get him out of the garden now, because if you don't get him out of the garden, because they've already entered into sin, they're going to eat of the tree of life and they're going to live forever in that state. You see, folks, God does not want you in that state of mind. God doesn't want you in that place of being influenced by the enemy. God doesn't want you in the place of always looking at the problem. He doesn't want you in the place of always seeing the bad in everything. God doesn't want you in your marriage looking at the faults of each other. God doesn't want you in a place in life that he's got you convinced your kids will never make it. God wants you in a place where you've now are eating, your sins are washed away because you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Your sins are washed away, and he wants you to come and eat from the tree of life every single day. The tree of life. He wants you to, listen, he wants you to come pick off the leaf and eat it, or the fruit of the tree of life and eat it, so that that day your thoughts are thoughts of victory, thoughts of life, thoughts of glory, thoughts of hallelujah. You know, I enjoy, amen, I enjoy riding my motorcycle, but everybody wants to come and tell me I'm going to die on the thing. You can't imagine. People just walk outside the street. Y'all be safe. Don't get killed on the thing. Yeah. How many people get killed in a car every day? How many people just drop dead of a heart attack every day? How many things happen to people? Just whatever. I mean, you can look. Well, statistically saying, you know, I had a person tell me the other day, if I rode it, I was going to get cancer. I said, well, I ain't going there. Did you know that most motorcycle riders that have wrecks, they have socks on? So socks could be the leading cause. Falls into the statistics. The truth of the matter is, most people that have motorcycle wreck don't know what they're doing. They shouldn't have been on the thing to start out with. If you learn how to ride, you learn what you're doing. You cut all that stuff out. Hello. People just don't know what they're doing. Ignorance. Well, why don't we live in life the same way? Why don't we live in life randomly? Why don't we live in life in ignorance? Why don't we live in life knowing what God has for us and then living by his principles and his precepts and eating from the tree of life rather than listening to the enemy who gets us over to eating death and destruction? Hello? Hello? I don't know about y'all, but I want the tree of life. I want to eat good things. And I'm telling you what, God has good things for you. He wants good things in your life. In the book of Revelation, it's Revelation 22. He talks about at the end of the whole world, at the end of everything, and you're in heaven, that you're going to see, you're literally going to see the tree of life. And it says the tree of life, the leaves of the tree of life brings healing to all the nations. The leaves. Didn't even say anything about the fruit. Just the leaves. Just the leaves. The tree of life brings healing. It brings restoration. It brings life. It brings joy. It brings fulfillment. But God has to plant that seed in your heart. He has to plant the seed in your heart. And when he plants the seed in your heart, it begins to produce. It can become a great tree, but it takes some work. You know, on this trip, we were up in, you know, Colorado, and I love aspen trees. I just think they're beautiful. I love the way that aspen trees move and the way that they look and all that kind of stuff. And I got to thinking about aspen trees, and I went in there and started researching about aspen trees. And y'all may have known this. I didn't know this, that aspen trees, they do produce a seed, but an aspen tree grows, and actually there's two huge aspen groves, one in Utah and then one in Aspen, Colorado, that they're known as the largest living organisms, because once a seed's planted, then the mother tree that's grown begins to put out roots and shoots, and they come up, and all the trees don't come from seeds, they come from the roots. And that you can go into these huge, huge aspen groves, and if you could, you know, they can, but I'm saying we can't. But, you know, you go in there and you could take the DNA of you'd find that they'd all come in from one tree. And it makes a huge grove. And I was reading that, because I was just looking at aspen trees just to learn something. And I started speaking to my heart. I said, well, wow, think about that. If we have the DNA of being born again and the Spirit of God's living on the inside of us, and the seed of God is in us, then that's like the going back to the mother tree of Jesus coming up in us, and what should be growing and producing in our life and making this tree of life in us should be go all the way back to being in Jesus. You're with me? What's really interesting also about aspen trees is the length of time that they live. A normal aspen tree will live 150 years. Okay? Aspen trees, I'm just giving you a little data here, they do very well in shade. It's difficult for the seeds to grow in a stand because they have so many trees growing up from the roots. They don't produce from a seed that often. Fire indirectly benefits aspen trees, since it allows all the little saplings to flourish gets it open to sunlight, and when it burns the landscape. Isn't that interesting? When I was thinking about that, I said, isn't that funny? Because sometimes fire in our life should produce something good in us. It goes back to that same way. If you always got it easy and you're always complacent, you never have a problem, you never have a situation, you never have a little fire, you don't get all that underbrush burned out, you don't get all that stuff out of your life, you don't get all the junk that's following you stumbling around all the time. Sometimes a little bit of problems can be good for us. We don't want any problems. But if you never have a problem, you never have a test, then how can you have a testimony? Right? You'll say, well, Pastor, you lost me on that. But that's God. First you're talking about this, now you're over here. I'm just saying. You're not going to ever get to the place in life you don't have any problems. But if we understand the principles of God, then when the problem comes, rather than it destroying us, rather than getting our focus on it, rather than getting us offended and off track, we grab hold of it and we walk in the power of God and the blessing of God. Amen? I don't know about y'all, but I want to be a tree of life. I want that DNA of Christ coming out of me. I want to be growing. I want to see a situation or a problem and say, okay, Lord, what are we going to do about this? You know, y'all can think it's crazy, but you know, everybody's praying for rain. Everybody's praying for rain. Everybody's praying for rain. Everybody's praying for rain. I was standing little restaurant, and there was a rancher there, and I was talking to him, and there was a police officer, and we were visiting, the three of us, and the police officer was from Corpus, and He started laughing. The rancher started laughing and said, yeah, he said, sure does make it hard to pray when we're praying for a hurricane. Y'all are in the way. And the guy said, yeah, my wife, she's really concerned. She's real scared and she wants me to come home. And I stopped there and thought, wow, isn't this amazing? They're praying, Lord, don't let that hurricane tear my house up. And everybody else in the state said, oh, Lord, just come on right up through Corpus, Lord. Just bring that rain. That's where we got to. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if we could ever get in agreement? How about some agreement? Do you realize that? I mean, it's a natural thing. And it's like we want to say to them, look, I'm sorry. You'll have to sacrifice. Yeah. Do you have insurance? You can rebuild. It'll be okay. Right? We can come up with all the theories of, well, you know, we need it worse than you do. And there's this struggle just pulling back and forth on the rope of the prayer of God. We need agreement. It's one of the things we're going to talk about in this is a tree of life. When you can get into agreement, it's a tree of life. When you're in disagreement, it is a tree of death. Agreement is a great thing. Your tongue. I'm just giving you some things I'm going into. Your tongue can be a great tree of life. Oh, just get ready. I want to make you take notes when I start preaching on the tongue because I want to make you write down in your. I'll get your spouse to keep score of good coming out of your mouth and negative coming out of your mouth, and you're going to bring them church, turn them in right here, and I'm going to see. Oh, you said that. Okay. Boy, y'all will be saying, so I ain't say nothing. He said, well, why did it happen? Maybe, what if, just think about this. What if in a day the angels brought about everything you said? It come over the news. 100 people dropped dead in the streets. No one knows why. I can think of some other things, and I won't mention it. I'll keep myself. Wisdom. Wisdom, a tree of life. How many times have you said, you know, let me give you a piece of my mind, and you should have kept your mind instead of sharing it out like that because it didn't do nothing but damage. How many times a tree of life can be wisdom to you? You speak, yeah, oh man, I want wisdom. I want wisdom. I never forget years and years and years ago, there was a young man in our youth group. And if he was here today, he wouldn't mind me saying this. I've already talked to him about it. He's not even around here anymore. But anyway, he was irritating. To say the least. Every time he went on a trip, every time he took the youth anywhere, nobody wanted to be around him. This guy was just, he was a handful. And one day, I mean, I had it. I got to the end of my rope and I wanted to beat this kid. I mean, we were at a youth event and he was just being horrible. And I finally got him by the scuff of the neck and I drug him around over the side and I was hoping he'd swing at me, you know, and something would happen. I don't know. I just, out of my head, I was so angry at him. And I got him up there and I had him up against the wall and I was going to give him the what for. And I mean, I stopped for a minute and I said, Jesus, what can I say to this kid? And I remember out of my mouth, it was a divine moment. Just I started speaking to that kid and I said, listen to me, I want to tell you something. You're going to have to get out of this problem. You don't think anything of your life. You think you're so inferior. You just said, when are you going to get up and you're going to grow up and believe Jesus and what his word says to you? And he says, you better quit thinking like you do. Your thinking's got you all mixed up. And I just went after him. And I mean, didn't realize I was just preaching and just speaking the word to him. And this went on for several minutes. And in a minute, I stopped and I realized that I had you know, wanted to tell him, I'm going to rip your head off and tear your ears off. And I mean, I just, you know, this is what I was wanting to say. But I realized I had just prophesied to him. And the kid stood there for a minute right there, and then tears just came down his eyes and says, you're exactly right. Pray for me. It'll go away. It'll change. My life will change today. And I prayed for him. And that young man to this day will tell you that that was a divine moment in his life. And that his life totally, completely changed from there. He grew up. He went into the military service. He became an outstanding person in everything that he did from that day on. His whole life changed. Because all of a sudden he began to see that what he was looking at and what he was focused on and where his attention was all in the wrong place. And once the word of life, the tree of life came into him, and he realized that there was a tree that he could grab hold of named Jesus that he could eat from and he could take nourishment from and he could hear the word of God from and hear the truth from, it changed his whole perspective of life. And folks, I'm telling you, it can be that quick, that drastic in life. When you begin to see that this is the life I want to live. This is how I want to be in life. This is how I want to function in life. I want the tree of life in me. And folks, when you start pulling off those leaves and you get hungry enough and you start eating them, it changes your life. And a lot of us in here, you've come from hard places, and that's okay. I love it when somebody rough goes to another church and the people say, well, you know, you'd probably fit better over at Living Waters. I love that kind of stuff. I'm as rough as it gets. I came from rough. I know what rough is. But I know this much. I'm not too worried about how a person dresses or how a person, what they like to eat or what they like to do. I'm not too worried about any of that kind of stuff. What I want people to know is that they can have life. They can have a tree of life. And you don't have to be insecure. You don't have to be vulnerable. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to always look at the glasses half empty. You don't always have to say, well, tomorrow's just going to be worse than today. You don't have to be the person that doesn't believe there's any future. Folks, I'm telling you right now, God can do anything in the world if we'll just operate in His principles. Are y'all with me? Sometimes in life, our prayer needs to be, Lord, not change my spouse, but needs to be change me. Listen to me. There's one thing I'm telling you. Through all of this, you got to go, and I'll say it over and I'll say it over. Listen to me. You can't pray out free will. Wow. Did you hear the quiet? You can't do that. God gave each and every one of us a free will. Now you can pray for God to influence that person. You can pray for God to put labors across their path. You can pray for God to show Himself strong to that person. You can go in there and say, Lord, make all their crooked paths straight. Begin to let them see at every corner. Let their eyes be like the Apostle Paul. Pray Ephesians 1, let the eyes of understanding be enlightened and know the hope of the calling. You can see, you can pray all those things over a person. And let God do the work. But you can't just pray, Lord, change that person right now. Because God's not going to violate their free will. If you remember, He didn't violate yours. Hello? And the biggest problem that we have being Texans is that we believe we can do anything. And we will struggle and we will fight to do everything on our own. Because we want to earn it and we want it to be ours. Whoa. And sometimes that's the hardest thing in life to get broken, is to depend on Jesus for everything. To depend on Jesus for everything. To let Him be that tree of life to you. So next few weeks we're going to keep going on. I want to ask you to start thinking about where you are in life. Start thinking about how hungry are you for Jesus? How much are you really willing to what are you willing to do for him? Think about that. How much you willing to learn? And he said, well, you know, I'll see if I can fit it into my schedule. I'll tell you something, you're not too hungry. Amen. So praise God. Stand to your feet if you would. Look at the person beside you and say, boy, that was the greatest message I think I ever heard in my life. Look at the person on the other side and say, man, this is, I can't wait for next week. Praise God. Look at YouTube and see me on TV. How about that? Amen? So take that person's hand beside you. Folks, I want to see us in unity. And I love just to see us holding hands here and as a sign of unity. But listen to me, church, I don't know where you are today. I don't know what's going on. But I know Jesus loves you. And I know that he cares about you. And he cares where you are. And he wants to know you more. And nothing, nothing that you have done can separate you from his love. I want you to know the Bible says that his heart and his arms are wide open to you. But he's waiting for you to respond to him. He's waiting for you to respond to him. He's waiting for you to pray and ask him. He's waiting for you to reach out to him. And the Bible says that when you reach out to him and you confess him as your Lord and Savior, that then he'll move in your life so amazingly. So church, just reach out to him. As soon as I finish this prayer, our prayer team's going to come up here. And we're going to be here. If you need prayer, we want to pray for you. We want to minister to you. We want to believe God for you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're going to walk out of this building today and you're not sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven, well, then I want to tell you something. Don't do that. Don't leave this building. Come up here and get with one of these people and pray with them and ask them to pray with you to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. So that you'll know, that you'll know, that you'll know, that you know, that you know, that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. So Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for these people. I thank you, Lord God, for each and every one of them. I ask you, Lord God, to bless them. Lord, that we want that tree of life in us. We want to walk in the tree of life. We want to walk. And Lord, we want to have that seed planted in us and growing in us. We want to be like an aspen grove, Lord, all coming from one big central tree, which is you, Jesus. It's you. So, Lord, I pray this day, open up our eyes, open up our understanding. Let us see the hope of the calling. Let us see where we've walked in error. And, Lord, grab hold of your principles. Grab hold of your word and walk with you. Now, Lord, bless them. Bless them each and every one, Lord. We thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Our prayer team, if y'all come on down, if y'all need any other prayer, we're here for you. God bless you.